Today's Tuesday, April 30th, 2013. My name is Debbie Quain, and you are part of the live recording of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Thank you so much for joining me. Usually I'm pretty organized, and I'm completely not today. I won't bore you with a whole bunch of details, but I feel like it's been so long since we've communicated. So I'm going to go ahead with things for right now, but I think I'll do another recording this week, maybe later on. Like something like around the 9, 10 o'clock hour, if not tomorrow, Thursday. Thanks again for being here. If you're in the live chat room, please feel free to post your Facebook fan page URL, your Twitter handle, your website URL, however you would like folks to communicate with you. Okay, please reach out there and make friends. I know so many of you are already doing that because the Confetti Insiders, I think spearheaded by Athena, you guys have been doing a lot of things online. I noticed that. So keep doing what you're doing, and not that you need my encouragement to tell you to do that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Confetti Radio is on Twitter, but at the urging and prodding of several folks, I created a Facebook group. So if you go to facebook.com/groups/confetti insiders, you can join the group. And there's a lot of exchange of information going on. But even within that, I think there's been a few offshoots of some other things going on. So usually what happens here on a Tuesday is I record the live weekly show with your help, getting your input. So you post your comments, your questions, as I'm going through information. However, for tonight, I've gone through a few different, a whole lot of stuff has just happened, so I don't have my information in front of me, so I apologize. I think what I will do is actually record an episode, if not tomorrow, Thursday, so I'll send another email. Speaking of which, I hope you're on the Confetti Radio email list. Today I sent out the email to more than the Confetti Radio list. I also sent it out to Weddings for a Living, which is another site which has information about planning weddings for a living. But with regard to the show, so that I'm not bombarding you with information you don't want, I usually only send that information to Confetti Radio, people on the Confetti Radio email list. So if you're not on the Confetti Radio email list, please just head over to confettiradio.com. Not right now, though. And just sign up, and then when the show's coming up, I'll send you an email. If you're based here in the United States, I'll also send you a text message a few minutes before we go live. All you need to do is text the word confetti to 71441, okay? Confetti to 71441. That's a free text message, as far as I'm concerned, but depending on your data plan, you may have to pay for that text message. Gotta say that. So, a huge welcome again. If you are listening to the show, I know that audio works for you. So I'm encouraging you, if you haven't already done so, to head over to Audible, which is an Amazon company that does all their books via audio. And you can get to try out the service free for 30 days and get a chance to download any book of your choice for free. And the link to do that is you need to go over to confettiradio.com/audible. Okay, if you haven't done that already, confettiradio.com/audible, A-U-D-I-B-L-E. And I am still listening to The Pumpkin Plan, which is a great book. It has nothing to do, well, it's kind of related to pumpkins. It's a great audiobook by Michael, and I'm not going to try to botch his last name, but the whole idea is that you focus on what works for you and what your best clients, when you have a business, you focus on the top clients, the ones that are bringing in most of the revenue for you, and just focus on that area, sort of like specializing but taking it to another degree. And The Pumpkin Plan is just opening my eyes to a lot of ways to sort of narrow down what it is that I do. So that's just one book. That's just one suggestion. I also just recently got another one called, I can't remember now, but I haven't started reading it yet, about getting clients. So, you know, we're in the wedding business. I'm sure you have tons of wedding books and you read tons of wedding bridal magazines, but there are a lot of great business books that can help us from people from different industries. And you can, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. I say that all the time. You can take someone else's idea and strategy and apply it to what you're doing. Planning weddings is usually a labor of love, but in order for you to be profitable, you want to set up your business in a way that you're making money, and it's especially for us where we don't get a lot of repeat business. So you want to find ways to make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck, all the money you're spending on your business. Okay. Okay. So last Tuesday we didn't have a show. I had a Tuesday wedding, and I have to say it was wonderful. This couple sort of were doing things last minute, so the wedding was planned very quickly, but it was one of my all-time favorite weddings that I planned. A lot of family and friends. And you know what I've noticed? And tell me if you've noticed the same thing if you're planning weddings. I found that the smaller weddings, the ones that don't cost an arm and a leg, the ones that are really about the couple, I found that those marriages tend to last longer than the clients where the weddings are just going all out. Not scientific at all, but that's been my observation. So intimate wedding, weddings that are just not going the traditional route, just say a lot about a couple. And I've just found that those marriages, when I follow up, seem to be going, lasting longer, just seem to be going on and on and on. And I'm not knocking it because we want clients to spend money, but the clients that go really crazy with the weddings and then the marriage is just kind of like, it's just not so wonderful. So several of you are agreeing. That's been my observation. So, unfortunately, that can't figure that out until after the wedding. So don't run away from folks who are trying to have a smaller wedding. It's up to us to present them with ideas and ways to give them more bang for their buck. God, I've used that phrase twice tonight. But use your creativity and think of different ways to do things. The bride got married on Tuesday for this wedding. She had a white pantsuit. Beautiful. And she had on, what's the hat with the net? I think it's called a fascinator. Just sort of like caught to the side and the netting over her, it was just beautiful. It was amazing. I didn't cry, but I was on the verge of tears. It was a really, really wonderful wedding. So, and by having it on a Tuesday, I thought, how many people are going to show up? Friends and family turned out for this wedding like you wouldn't believe. And, I guess if someone's having an after work event or there's a happy hour, we go. So people came for this wedding and it was, I'm going to use my favorite word for April, phenomenal. It really was. So when your clients want to get married on a Saturday afternoon and they think that's the only time to get married, let them know there are other ways to do this. And this wedding got started 7 p.m. and we rolled out of there around 11:30 and they were still hanging out and having a good time. I guess it was a one night, once in a lifetime thing for a Tuesday. So folks hung out for the wedding. So it went really well. So, something to think about. Tracy saying, I know of a couple that spent $1.5 million on a wedding and it lasted all of 6 months. Her father was highly upset that he spent all that money on a wedding that didn't last a minute. I bet. $1.5 million. Wow. And speaking of big weddings, Michael Jordan got married this weekend. I didn't know Michael Jordan was dating someone. Where have I been? Apparently, they've been together for like 4 years. So they had a big wedding. So, and I was going to say, I was about to say another one bites the dust, but I shouldn't say that. That's not what we do. So yeah, another big celeb wedding. Shatasha saying, I hear you, Tracy. I know a bride that was still paying her wedding off at the same time she was getting divorced. Oh, the marriage only lasted 2 years. Oh, that's horrible. That's horrible. So, somebody asked a question. I think it was on the last show we did that asked, how do you get your clients to stay on budget? If you're helping clients from that stage, where you actually are working with them and the budget, all you can do is present them with the budget. You cannot do anything really other than encourage them and guide them, but you can't force them to stick to their budget. It's like giving someone a diet plan. They have to have, they've got to make the decision as to how important it is to stick to that plan. So we can work out a budget, present them with a budget, guide them. When they're sort of starting going, when they begin to go off budget, try to reel them back in. That's it. You're dealing with two adults. They get to decide how they want to spend their money. So don't make that, I hear that question a lot, don't make that your issue. Just do what you can and then let them, you know, do the rest. Just make sure you get paid for your planning services. Okay. Donna's saying, you feel the same way about Michael Jordan. Yeah, meaning you didn't know he was seeing, I didn't know he was in a relationship. I mean, not that he has to check in with me. I didn't know. They've been living together for a while. I just didn't know Michael Jordan. I heard married. I was like, when did, you know. So much for that. So I've decided, for those of you just joining, that I'm going to do another show later on this week because I'm just not prepared. I had some audio. Some folks had left some great messages on the feedback line, and I wanted to play that for you. But I don't have it. I don't have that. So I'm sort of rambling right now. Does anyone have any questions or any concerns that they wanted to share for this evening? Anything at all? I feel like I'm fishing now. Because I did have some other things that I wanted to share with you. And while, you know what? I wanted to mention, for those of you who are part of Wedding Business Guide, you may have noticed that the site has sort of gone, I've changed a lot of things there. So that should be done in the next, I'm not going to even say that I've broken it down into a few sections. So we're sort of changing course, and I'm trying to make it a lot more linear so you can see where you need to go. Wedding Business Guide, for those of you that don't know, is a site created to help you with the process of setting up a wedding business, but specifically a day of wedding management company. So if you're working full-time, as many of us are, I was about to say many of us are, and we still want to get into the wedding business. It's very difficult to do that and offer full service. However, if you focus on day of for right now, you'll get your feet wet. You'll appeal to a lot of feet wet with the wedding planning, that is. You'll appeal to a lot of brides who maybe didn't think they needed a full-service planner but understand why they need to have someone there. And you'll get to see firsthand how a lot of your area vendors are working because you'll have a lot more weddings to deal with, I guarantee you. So it's a win-win situation, and that's what Wedding Business Guide is all about, how you can set up your own part-time wedding planning business. So the information has been on the site for a few years, but it was there's so much information, and I think it was overwhelming. In fact, I know it was because I heard that from several of you. So what I've done is broken it down into three main sections. The first section is what you need to do to get up and running in 7 weeks. I said 6 weeks initially, but I figured 7 weeks makes more sense. And then the next section is about the client workflow process, which goes through, it's actually 20 steps of what you do from the moment someone contacts you and says, hey, I'd like to learn more about your wedding, your day of services, how much do you charge? So, you know, going from there to the email you send, to the meeting you have with them, to the sending out the welcome packet, to creating the timeline, to doing the seating for the wedding reception, what to do on the wedding day, how to direct the wedding rehearsal, how to follow up. So those things I've broken down. So that's another section of Wedding Business Guide. And then the last part, the third major part is the download library. So I've tried to include all the forms and checklists you would need to get your business going. So that's what I've been working on in addition to that wedding and another one coming up in less than four weeks. So that's what I've been working on, and in the hopes that it makes more sense to you. Right now, if you remember, you can still log in and see those changes, but the join button is not there. So I want to get those things worked out, and I will let you know when that site's up and running. So this is not a plug. I never try to sell you anything, but just wanted to let you know the status of Wedding Business Guide, just in case you go over to the website and it says, you know, you see the guy in the pink construction hat. Okay. Let's see. Shatasha has a question. Fantastic. I'm considering marketing to local churches. Any suggestions is the best way to do this? Oh, good. That's a good start right there, Shatasha. Well, when you say you're marketing to local churches, what is your niche? Are you doing day of? Are you specializing in a specific type of bride, meaning a specific demographic? Let me know that, and then I'll come back and try to answer that for you. Diana's asking, do you know what a good way to close a deal would be? When you say close a deal, what do you mean? When you meet with a bride? Is that what you're asking? I'll let Diana in. Okay, so day off. Well, the way I see it and the way I do it, Diana, is, you know, once I've met someone, and Shatasha, I'm going to come back to you, and they've expressed an interest, you know, we do that getting to meet you, that meet and greet meeting, and I find out what it is that they're looking for. And based on what they're telling me, if I can tell they've really done with their homework and are fairly organized, because I'm not doing day off for a bride that doesn't have her act together. Sorry, I'm not taking on that kind of wedding. But if the couple are organized and there's a connection, because that's why I say women, because usually us women can decide fairly quickly if we're, I don't say feeling someone, you know what I mean? So if we're vibing, if we're connecting, usually I'll ask on the spot. I didn't always used to do this, but based on what they're saying, I will say, well, once they tell me what it is that they're looking for, I'll present and say, well, based on what you said to me, this is the package. You know, I've got a couple packages, but I think this one might be the one that seems to be the best match. And I'll sort of give them a synopsis of what that is and then say, so what do you think? And then I let them tell me. And either they kind of leaning in that direction, or I get the sense that they're not really, and you can tell you that they're not picking up on that, but who could not love me? But if I get the feeling that they're interested, then usually the next question I'm asking is, so once they've said, well, I like this, this package seems great. And I'll say, well, great. When do you want to get ready? When do you want to get started with this? I can have this contract drawn up for you tonight or tomorrow. And then I wait to hear what it is that they're going to say. Before, I never used to do that. I would sort of leave it in midair and sort of walk off. But I do try to close the deal, as it were, at that moment. And usually it's either one of two things. Either they say, oh, okay, well, great. I think, yeah, let's do package A. Or they say, we got to do a little bit of thinking. We got some other planners to meet or whatever. And when they get to that point, then what I suggest is that we set up a time for them just to follow up, but I'm not the one that's following up. We set a time for them to contact me. And usually, so like if it's today, Tuesday, I'll say, okay, well, why don't we agree that maybe on Thursday you give me, well, we decide what day. And if it's Thursday or Friday, and say, okay, well, Thursday at 3, I'll wait to hear from you. And then I give them my information. And then I wait for them to contact me. That's usually what I do. That's what I do now. Before, I would sort of just walk off and say, well, these are my packages. Let me know what you think. And then I follow up. But what I do is I still send them a thank you note, but I wait to hear from them. And if that day comes, like Thursday at 3, and I haven't heard back, then I may reach out and say, hey, didn't hear from you. I was expecting to hear from you Thursday at 3. Just wanted to check in. And if I hear back from them, we take it from there. If I don't hear back from them, that's it. I move on to the next one. And that isn't something that I came up with. That's something that I learned. As I told you, I used to sort of walk away. But focusing on day of makes it easier now, because a lot of brides get that. Full service is something that takes a lot more time. And maybe the strategy would be a little different, but usually when someone comes to me for full service, it's because a vendor's referred them and they're a warm lead at that point. And I'm not boasting, but usually it's not hard for me to close. And it kind of goes along the similar guidelines. I ask them what it is that they want and I let them talk. And then I'm taking notes and then I repeat what I heard them say. So what you're saying is that you want someone to show you some vendors. You're not familiar with the area. You have a budget of about $20,000. You have a lot of guests and family and friends that you know you want to invite, but you don't you should invite, but you don't want to. And you're going to need some help with narrowing, finding a photographer who's going to do some really high-end photos. Is that what you're saying? And usually once they, I get the yes and a few nods of the head, then I'll say, well, based on that, then, you know, this is the package that I would suggest for you. But with full service, because it needs to be customized, I'll give them a baseline and say, well, this is, these are some of the things that I can do for you. But what I would like to do is to go back and sort of draft this up and customize it based on what you're telling me. Because I don't like to quote full service on the spot. Day of, it's much easier for me to do. But day of is what you mentioned. So that's usually how I close the deal. I don't know if that answers your question, Diana. Let me look at this chat, then I'll know, right? Okay, Diana's saying, yes, but they want the price. Should I wait and send a proposal? For day of? For day of, I'll give them the price. They know. When I do the meet and greet, before we do the meet and greet, I let them know where we're, you know, whereabouts I am. You know, my day of packages started around $1,300. That's the starting price. So they have an idea, because depending on how many hours we consult before the wedding and how many hours my staff and I are there on the wedding day, it determines that price. So I tell them what it is. I don't hide that. And then Diana's saying, how many no's should I hear before I using a different strategy? Diana, if you're referring to the strategy I just mentioned, like I said, I'm waiting for them to call me. And if I don't hear that call, then I'll follow up and just make sure they haven't fallen in a manhole, my favorite phrase. And if they haven't fallen, you know, just checking in. If I don't hear from them based on that, that's it. I don't want to come, because then it seems like I'm chasing them, and I don't want them to be, I don't want them dodging my call. I don't want them saying, oh gosh, there's Debbie's number again. It just looks like I'm desperate, and I'm too old for that now. So I just wait for them to call. If they don't call, I'll follow up. If I don't hear from them, that's it. Now, if they've signed up for my email newsletter, and I'm saying I have an email, I don't have an email newsletter. I used to. I don't have that. I'm not going to pretend. If I had my email newsletter, then I would follow up, but just keep in touch with notes and promotions. And sometimes, you know, if I think they were really on the fence and maybe I really want to work with them, then I may send something that says, you know, just to my list though, that if they respond, if someone wants to sign up for day of, like today's Tuesday, if they sign up by Friday, I'll knock $100 off. I might do that, but I try to stay away from doing those things. Okay. That's it. Diana says, you agree, only follow up once. Okay, good. I'm glad you agree, Diana. I hope that helps. What was the other question? Oh, that was supposed to come back to Shatasha. You said marketing to local churches, and then... Okay, so Shatasha's question was, I'm considering marketing to local churches. Any suggestions as to the best way to do this? And you said day of management. Shatasha, I've just found that this day and age, oh my gosh, my mother, that's who I sound like. But right now, people just want to know that you know what you're talking about, because there are a lot of folks out there who are masquerading as wedding planners and really aren't true professionals, aren't true wedding planners. So if you're marketing to churches, I don't know, if you have a relationship with them, then I would offer maybe a free workshop or an offer to get a free report. But I like the workshop idea, because they can hear you speak and they can ask questions. And it can be 45 minutes, an hour. You can get a few of your favorite vendors maybe to provide some refreshments and kind of do the circuit. It's almost like you're doing the speaking circuit to some of the area churches. Contact them and let them know it's not a hard sales tactic. You want to just share with them some tips about planning a wedding. Now, the thing is, it has to hit at the right time, because not everyone's getting married at the same time. So maybe you have to, I was going to say, bury it as something else, like hosting special events or things you shouldn't do when hosting a special event or something like that. But if you are focused on the wedding thing, which you are, then it's more of a crapshoot when you're just doing weddings to everyone. So you say day of management. You also, and now that I think about it, it's not just the people there at the, you know, the congregation, but the folks who are part of the church need to know that you're available to do that, so that when someone is getting married in their church, they refer them to you. I don't think it's bad to offer money as a referral. So you can let you know, the church know, or whoever the person is responsible, that anyone who books business with you, you pay $50 referral. There's nothing wrong with that. People respond to that. So that's something I would offer. But I like the workshop circuit, or maybe you do one workshop, but you invite several of the churches to come to the workshop. So maybe you do one, you know, everyone, and then you hit the churches that are within a certain mile radius and invite them. But really, you just want to promote yourself as the expert so that when someone is getting married, they come to you. And you can do more than one. You might want to consider that. I don't know if that helps, but that's what I would think of off the cuff. Any ideas you folks have, please share too. Merlin's asking, do you find that it's easier to close a deal in person, or is a phone consult just as good? Merlin, that's a good question. I think people are used to doing things in person. If you're in the same area where someone's getting married, there's no real excuse for you to do it on the phone. There should be a chance for the two of you to meet. But if you're located in the Washington, D.C. area and your clients are in Florida and they're coming here to get married, then I think a phone consultation or a Skype consultation makes perfect sense. They get to see you, you get to see them, and you can, you know, you're just talking and you can see one another. So, but if you're in the same area, I think it's good to meet people. You pick up that energy. You decide if you like someone. Maybe you do the first initial getting, you know, meet and greet via Skype, because that visual component, and then arrange to meet them face to face a little later. So I thought about doing that, actually, just doing the very first, you know, 10-minute consult via Skype. But, you know, there's something about that energy that people can pick up when they meet you face to face. But I don't know many of you face to face, but I feel there's a connection, right? Because you can see me. It's kind of one-sided. How selfish am I? But if we were doing a two-way thing, I know many of you just by seeing your name. So I'm sure that if I could do Skype, there would be a connection. And then I can say, all right, well, then, you know what? Let's meet next Thursday at Barnes & Noble or whatever, or come to my office, or we'll meet at such and such. So I kind of like the idea, now that I think about it, to get things going. But if you're local, there's no reason why you shouldn't get to meet them too, unless the schedules are so crazy that it can't happen. Okay. Diana said, I've had my confetti sister help me on this, and they have been wonderful. Not sure how many no's I'm supposed to get till I have to rethink my approach. Okay. Confetti sisters, I love that. Lisa's question, what are some time-saving ideas on wedding photos, pictures? My couple's wedding starts at 7, and if we want to do all the pictures, guests won't eat until 8:30, 9 p.m. Okay, so the wedding ceremony starts at 7? And it's the wedding, is that what you're saying? The wedding ceremony is at 7? That doesn't sound bad, because, so you've got that sounds about right, because you do the ceremony and then there'd be a cocktail hour while they're taking pictures. Shouldn't be more than 45 minutes to an hour. But what am I missing? Do I have my timing off? Oh, Kamara's already answered. Are they having a cocktail hour? I usually try to get the groomsmen, and maybe his immediate family prior to the wedding. And same for the bride, bridal attendants and family. The cocktail hour time right after the ceremony is used for the group family pics. Keep to a minimum and release them to cocktail hour. There you go. The entire wedding party, then release, and then the couple's pictures. They may even be able to take more couple pictures after the introduction. Okay. Yeah. Camera's on point. They may be able to take more couple pictures after the introduction into the reception while people are eating, depending on your timeline. Yeah. Camara's got it. And she goes on to say, Lisa, I would suggest getting as many pics as you can prior to the wedding. Yeah, that's a good point. I think, you know, a lot of couples don't mind seeing each other before the wedding. But even so, there are a lot of pictures that you can take before the actual ceremony, you know, group pictures. And it depends on the style. You know, some couples don't want the family shots. Okay, one with all the bridesmaids. Okay, one with all the groomsmen. But even for those candid style of photos, a few traditional shots are good, because looking back years to come, you want to see a picture with all the bridesmaids, the picture with all the groomsmen. And Kamara's right. So if you can get those pictures taken ahead of time, that's really good. John L. is saying, hi, John L. I have heard of people doing this at local hotels. Get vendors to offer. Oh, what am I reading? get vendors to offer flowers, a baker to, oh, are you responding to the church situation? I think so. I've heard of people doing this at local hotels, get vendors to offer flowers, a baker to offer cakes, then get the hotel to let you show the space to whoever signs up, then work with the vendors to maybe offer a discount to those that sign up for your workshop. Perfect. There you go. You guys are on it. Thank you, Janelle. Lisa was saying, was thinking that too, but a little concerned because they are hiring one photographer and want pics of both bride and groom getting ready. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, Lisa, when your clients are meeting with a photographer, that needs to be specified because a lot of photographers, most of the photographers I know will work with an assistant if they need to. So if they want pictures of both the bride and groom getting ready, that requires more than one person. So either they've got to find a photographer that offers that service or that's not going to happen. I mean, because one person can't be at two places at one time. So usually that's something that they've got to determine when they hire the photographer. So they need to find a photographer. I know that doesn't help, but usually the photographer has to have someone else for that exact reason. And he or she can make that determination. But to getting ready, that's a tricky. There needs to be a second person there to do that. I don't know how to get around that unless they're so close that he can do one and then another, the other group, if they're close enough and there's enough time to do that. But that's a tricky one. In my experience, for my clients, it needs to be two. How many times did I say that? Kamara's going on to say you may have to structure your timeline very tightly. I guess you still talk about the photos. If they are open to the first look photos, then do all the pics before. Yep. It's easier for the guys to get ready and they can take off jackets, etc. after pics to relax. Kamara's on it. Yes. Then photographer can capture bride in attendance, then do the first look and rest of the pics. Wonderful. Jermaine is asking, I'm just starting out. What's the best way to get my name out there? Hi, Jermaine. The best way for you to get your name out there is to be different from all the other planners in your area. I know that sounds very basic, but you've got to do something to stand out. And it's got to be more than your price. Because if we're all wedding planners, then there's nothing to differentiate you. So you've got to find your own little niche, your own little sector of your local bride, your local wedding. I keep saying brides. I got to stop saying it's not just brides now. Your own little sector of the wedding of couples getting married. And decide that's who you're going to pursue. Otherwise, you're going to get lost in the crowd, especially as a new person. So find what you're passionate about. Find what keeps you up at night when you should be sleeping when it comes to weddings. What are you drawn to? And pay attention to that because that will lead you in the direction of working with those brides. And the benefit for you is you're going to enjoy working those weddings much more because you're passionate about that area of weddings. So that's always my answer to get your name out, that you have to do something differently. And it may be a certain sector of the community. It may be a certain portion of the wedding, like we're talking about day of. It may be a certain style of wedding, maybe, very high-end weddings or couples who are planning a wedding in 6 months or less, something like that. So you've got to find an area that you can specialize in and you will then stand out because people pay attention and it's much more memorable to meet someone who, you know, are you meeting someone who plans weddings? Or you're meeting a wedding planner who works with couples getting married in 6 months or less. One of them stands out more than the other, and it's the one that's doing something slightly different. So that's my very first suggestion. And then once you do that, what happens is you kind of forget everybody else who doesn't fit into that little sector. Once you start focusing on that group, then it becomes easy for you to market because you know where they go, you know what they read, you know where they hang out when you meet with vendors. They'll know which of their clients fit into that little area. And people will find you. I mean, it's not going to be for everyone. And that should never be your goal, to work with all brides within a certain radius, because you will struggle. But if you can just find that small little group and be the darling for them when it comes to weddings, then you'll see. Your name will get out there much faster. I'm not saying it won't happen if you're servicing all brides, but it's going to happen way faster if you pick a certain area. Just make sure that whatever sector you go after, there are brides that want that type of service and that are drawn to that type of wedding. That's my quick response. Okay. You folks, I hope that helps. Oh, look at that. Jermaine saying, was it Jermaine or John L. that asked the question? It was Jermaine, right? Yeah, Jermaine is saying, the weddings I have done, most are planning with short notice. Those are fun weddings, but it's challenging, you know? So yeah, Donna said, that's your niche. And a lot of the weddings that I've worked on have been short notice weddings. I enjoy those. I really do. Because it's because it's so quick, it's just, it kind of moves, you know, things move very quickly. And as you can see, I just kind of like that. I just want to keep going. But I'm like a 5-year-old to some extent, because if it's taking too long, then I may lose interest. There, I said it as the planner. So the short notice weddings, I actually do enjoy, but you have to be ready to go. So if you, and I'm not assuming, but if you're doing it, working like, you have another full-time obligation, it may become a little tricky, because you've got to be ready to, you know, to get things going. So this is why you got to do your homework. You got to start talking to vendors. You got to have a strong list of vendors, but you also have to know which vendors can respond quickly. You have to become friends with venues so that they know when they have cancellations that they've got to let you know, and you've got to keep touching base with them. You know, so that, do they have any dates to fill in? Because what will happen is, if they have dates to fill in, right, and they get people that are coming to visit the venue and say, well, we have a couple that just canceled, and they say, okay, yeah, we'll take that date. Then what the venue can then turn around and say, by the way, I have a planner, Jermaine, who works very well with short notice weddings. Why don't you give her a call? The venue's referring you. You're already communicating with the venue, because it's part of your role to find out when they have cancellations, so that you can, you know, send that information to couples who are getting married on short notice. So it's this never ending cycle. So I like that a lot, Jermaine. Don't sit on it. Just, jump in. And if that's your passion, start focusing on that and get going. A lot of couples will want that. And also, make friends with the person who issues the marriage licenses, because a lot of people, when they are getting married, will go to get the license, or they may be considering going to the courthouse, because that is a faster route, but they can still perhaps come to you to help plan that wedding, because you can do a quick turnaround wedding. So do you see how much easier it is now to get your name out there just by pulling one small area of weddings? It's just way easier to do. Lisa's saying, oh, yes, I don't know. I'm reading parts of the conversation, sorry, and I don't know what's going on. What are we saying no to? Tracy's saying no, and Donna's saying, I agree, Tracy, no. What are we saying no to? I don't know what you're talking about. Please tell me. Using family friends for pictures. No. I didn't read that part. Using a family friend for pictures. No. That's not a great idea. I mean, you could, but I mean, as a backup, but not as a substitute. Not really. Unless this person is very talented, and even then, I would steer away from that. It's, yeah, not a good idea. You guys know what's going on. You guys are all saying no. Oh, gosh, no family. You know, don't have Aunt June bake the cake. Don't have Cousin Larry take the photos. Not a good thing. Okay. All right. In the meantime, you know, if you do have a question or a comment, you hear my voice, I would love to hear your voice. So the talkback line number, I don't usually like to give out the phone numbers, because there are so many different numbers that you can, you know, one number to call to listen to the show live, another number to leave a message, and da, 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 da. But the talkback line number is 202-681-2126. Okay. So if you have something to share, just call 202-681-2126. Leave a message 24/7 anytime. Also, if you go onto confettiradio.com, there's an orange button that says leave a voice message. I think that's what it says. You could just click that. And as long as you have a microphone connected, or you're using your iPhone or any device that has a microphone, basically, you can leave the message there. I really would love to hear from you. Okay. Guest 245 has another question. Okay. Let's see what we got. Oh, was that your question there about how do you market yourself as a high-end beach wedding planner and home wedding planner without sounding pretentious. Oh, that's not pretentious. Why would you say that? So meaning you're specializing in both of those, high-end beach weddings and home weddings? Home weddings is has always been my passion. And you have to if you're doing both, that's a kind of the same, because beach, I would sort of focus that, meaning that, you know, you're planning weddings that are not in traditional locations. Beach is not a traditional location. And actually getting married at home, which I love, is not a traditional location either. So vendors, I always fall back on vendors because they can direct you. But you want to focus. It depends on when you said high end, right? So you want to go where the high-end homes are and where those folks hang out. And I know, I see what you mean now when you say pretentious. But you have to go, because it sounds like the weddings that you're going to be planning, folks are going to be spending quite a bit of money. Planning a wedding at home, a high-end wedding at home, usually involves tents and bringing everything in. That's not a small amount of change. So making friends with people who are, I was going to say realtors, but realtors are sort of after the fact, but even they know the areas, because that's a good, when you're talking to a realtor, they know the areas where those homes are. But you're sort of standing out right then and there. People who, I would talk to people who, companies like landscaping companies, that may not sound obvious, but people who want a high-end home wedding usually spend a lot on the upkeep of their home. So landscaping companies, those are people that you want to reach out to. Different companies like pool companies. These, and then I know I'm sounding very cliche that I think about it, but those are the folks that are regularly in the homes of the place of the home where clients want to have those weddings. But your vendors will be a really good resource. Caterers, especially offsite caterers, because when someone's getting married at home, they need everything has to be brought in. Rental companies, tent companies, those people are very good sources of referrals for you. And when you want to start positioning yourself as someone who talks about that, who writes about that, contact your local paper and, you know, write some wedding articles. And in the bio line, which is the bio at the bottom, make sure it specifies that you specialize in home weddings. That's a really, really great niche. But as you say, it's sort of the high end thing. I see what you mean now. Beach weddings, that's a little different. I was going to be real cliche and say it's sort of like the tourism boards, but those are the folks that will be able to direct you, because if someone wants to get married at a location, you're thinking, who would they contact? Which agency, which business would they go to get to find out information? If it's a place, you know, if they need a permit, they may go to an office. That office needs to know about you doing the high-end weddings, but especially you also want to work with talk to other vendors who fit in that high-end category. So, you know, the caterer that offers the budget meal, the budget menus may not send you a whole lot of business. The high-end caterer more than likely will. So those are the things that sort of come off, that are coming off the top of my head. Anyone else have any other ideas about that? Please let me know. It's 8:45. I do want to kind of wrap things up. Otherwise, we'll be here all night. Oh, you're welcome. I'm glad that helps. I guess 245 is saying thank you. John L. said Nancy's question. What is your view on I like that word and I'm not saying it right. Anonymity? I am torn with attaching my personal face pictures of myself on my sites. I'm struggling with branding a little bit because I haven't decided on a professional logo, but don't know with my Twitter, website, Facebook page. Should I use a personal photo with my Twitter, Facebook business page? Or should I stay away from personal photos and just focus on photos of the service I provide? I can relate. It took a long time for me to even put my photo out there. When you say, apparently, people relate better when they know who you are. I had a real issue with this. It took a long time for me to put my photo up there, says the woman who sits in the front of the camera every week. But it's true. People do make that connection. For a long time, I was concerned that I don't look like a lot of the people who may want my services. They'll see this black woman and think, she can't do that. We don't want to work with her. And for me, I said this before, it was Preston Bailey who told me that's their issue, not yours. You don't want to work with someone that has an issue like that anyway. He's absolutely right. And that's when I realized I've got to be me. That I'm the same person that they're going to meet when we sit down in the coffee shop and talk. It's the same person when we go to a venue and I meet them and shake hands. It's me. It's me. That's who they're getting. So for what we do, it's such a personal service. I think you do need to have your photo. Maybe not if you don't want to put it on your website. I get that. But people want to know who it is that they're connecting with. If you're not comfortable with that, then you have to do what makes you comfortable. There's nothing wrong with branding your Twitter account or your Facebook account as your business. But if you are the person that's spearheading that business, people are going to want to know who you are. So I now, in 2013, will say that I think it's a good idea to have your photo up there. But for branding, I would use a logo. For my wedding company, I would use my logo on Twitter. And Twitter, you can do it both ways. You know, you can have your logo on the top part. What do they call that? The banner. But then the image that goes with each tweet could be your face. Or, you know, you can change it. You can change it. There's nothing wrong with that. Especially if there are several people on your team for your company. There's nothing wrong with branding the company and then on your about page or meet the team, then folks can see who you are. So just pick one. And I mean, don't let that hold you back, because it held me back for a very, very long time, and I got over it. And I don't even think about it anymore. I really don't. So I don't know. And I mentioned, you know, the issue for me, that may not be your issue at all, but that was something that I had to battle with for a very long time. And then I realized I have something great to offer. Now I sound really big-headed. I have something great to offer. And if they don't get that, or they're going to miss out on that just based on that first impression, that's on them. But for branding purposes, I think branding your logo, I like that. I like that idea, because it just, especially if you have a niche, it just solidifies who you are. But then just in some small touches here and there, I don't want to hide. So I want them to see who I am, but I may still brand the company, but they know, depending if they go to the about page. If I go to someone's about page, I'm hoping to see that individual, not a logo. So I don't know if that answers your question. Okay. Yeah, all you can do is you. So do you. That's what Diana says. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, it took me a while to get over that. I really did. But, you know, things are changing. Times are changing, and even if they're not, again, what we do, we provide a personal service. So people really just want to know that if they're going to plonk money down for your services, that you know what the heck you're doing. That's really what it comes down to. That's what it really comes down to. So a lot of times it would be nice to say, you know, oh, I don't judge people. I don't judge someone by the way they look. But that's what we do. We're human beings. We sum somebody up in the first few seconds that we meet them. That's what we do. But then it's up to that individual to solidify who they are by the continuation of that conversation, right? So first glances, you may think, oh, and I've done that many times. I'm like, oh, here we go. And then, you know, this person opens their mouth and then I realize, oh, they know what they're talking about, because we have some in our mind what a certain person, a certain role, what that person should look like or how they should sound, you know? So, as long as you are offering something of value to that person, as long as you can convey that and they get that, connection is good. But yeah, definitely don't hide. Don't hide completely. Reggie says, you know what I mean? You used to feel the same way. Yeah, definitely. It's tough. But you know what, too? The more, I keep saying I'm going to wrap things up and I keep talking. The more you do, you know, and the more confidence you build in what you're doing, the easier it is. You just start shaking that stuff off. I think for some of us, too, when we're new, we're a little leery, because you're not quite sure and you're still getting your feet wet and you're still trying to figure things out. But, you know, you plan one wedding, you do another. There's a mishap at the wedding. You figure out how to overcome it, or maybe you didn't overcome it, but the next time you know what to do, that just builds confidence. And then when you start speaking to people, it's much easier. Now, I mean, I speak to you every week, you know, just about every week. It's so much, I mean, I'm just a talker anyway, but it's so much easier for me to talk now to other people. It's just, this just, it's nothing. It's nothing to me anymore. And it's the same with when you're developing your craft. The better you get, the more confident you become. And, you know, you just start shaking off that stuff. It's like, as the French say, petit caca. It's nothing. It's just no big deal. No big deal. Okay. All right. That's it. I'm going to really wrap it up now. John L. says, there's another piece to Nancy's question. I also worry about blending my personal presence with my business presence, especially when it comes to comments that can be touchy if I like or retweets and things like that. For Twitter, I think you should have two accounts. You know, I have, my Twitter account is pitiful for Debbie Quain. But like, for example, Confetti Radio has one. Weddings for Living doesn't. I was hiding under Debbie, hiding, not good choice it was, Debbie Quain. I don't even tweet on that anymore, and I'm kind of over it. I'm sorry. It is what it is. Twitter's a noisy atmosphere, but a personal account for me doesn't have my name. You know, it might be, you know, DQ Sweet Sweet or something like that. You know, so I would have a personal Twitter, and I would have a business account for Twitter. That's what I would do. So I'd have a business presence and a personal presence. Facebook says you can't have more than one. So you more than one profile, but you know, maybe then you can create a page for the business, but then you have to have that personal profile that attached so that you can create the page. And that's the dilemma that I have, because I don't like Facebook in general. But so that was it. So you'll see my name, Debbie Q, and I have two friends, Donna Snyder and Kiki, but I don't get friends, but I have the profile just so that I can create pages for the businesses that I have. So Facebook's a little trickier, but you know, if you can, I think I know of someone that does her business name, uses her maiden name for business and her married name for personal, and has two Facebook accounts. Shh, don't tell anyone. So that's one way to sort of balance it. But I think the identities should be separate, and definitely for things like retweeting and things like that, and for Twitter, I think you should have a personal and one for the business. It's easy to do that with Twitter. Reggie says, I'm like you. People can't shut me up. It's a terrible condition. Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm going to really get going. But Kamara says, my concern, using that term loosely, is attracting clients from other cultures. What I've been told by a Caucasian woman in marketing is that Caucasian people are hesitant to work with you if they don't see that you have worked with other Caucasians. That being said, the website needs to have pics of Caucasian clients. Circular logic. I can't attract Caucasian clients without Caucasian clients. How does that work? I know what you mean. And it's harder for me to being in America. And I want to be careful how I say that. Coming from a place like the United Kingdom, where there is so much interaction between races, it's not a huge deal. When I came to America, I was stunned how folks react when they see, you know, a black person with a white person, or an Asian person with a black. It was just bizarre to me. I've been here long enough that I see it now. But you know what your client is saying is true. You know, to some extent, that. So if you are you're a black wedding planner, and the only pictures they're seeing, or if they just see only pictures are black brides, then yeah, it may turn off someone who doesn't look like all of your clients. But whose issue is that? Is that their issue or your issue? So then you might want to get some photos of Caucasian clients, but then you're saying, then if you haven't worked with them, how do you do that? Well, then you put some stock photos up. What's wrong with that? And guys, you know, tell me if I'm wrong. If that's what's concerning for you, then put some of those pictures up. I mean, it's just, again, that's based on a website. Hopefully your website is not your only way to get clients. But you know, this is why, and maybe I'm oversimplifying, this is why you have to make friends with vendors, make sure you're out there, make sure you're writing articles so people can see you for the expert that you are. And I think, again, that make that their issue, but let them know that you're intelligent, you know what it is that you're talking about. And I think there are many people out there that will look beyond that. And if someone is just simply saying, this woman doesn't look like me, or this guy doesn't look like me, I don't want to work with them, that's their issue. That's just too much energy for me. It's just too much energy. So yeah, you're going to lose out on some people, on a few people, but I think there'll be just as many, if not more, who will come to you. So that's my feedback. It's a weird one. You know, it's just, it's weird. And I mean, we could pretend like it doesn't exist, but it is very true. People do judge us based on how someone looks. That's what we do initially. But once they start speaking and performing and delivering, if you go, you can't tell me that you're doing a wedding and there are vendors watching you and your team do such a fantastic job that they're not going to refer you to someone who doesn't look like you. Am I being naive? I just don't believe that. I don't believe that. If you are not coming there with any, what's the word I'm looking for? If you're not showing up with any, it's not grudges. I can't think of the word. If you're not coming in with those hang-ups, then, you know, for me, I've had clients from my first wedding I did was a Jewish wedding in New York, in Brooklyn. That was my first wedding. I didn't look like my clients. We sat down, we spoke. They talked to me on the phone. Granted, I didn't have a photo on my website. Maybe that was it, but we spoke, and I saw, I saw the shock. I think they saw the last name and they didn't know where I was from, but it doesn't matter. I sat down and I booked that wedding. That was my first wedding. So, you know, there you go. There you go. So to be continued. I hope that helps, but that's a really great, great subject and something that, you know, is worth talking about, but don't spend too much time worrying about the people that are concerned about what, you know, if they want to work with you or not. Cause there are just as many people, who do want to work with you. Okay. All right. Prejudices. Thank you, John L. Preconceived notions. Thank you, John L. Says the woman who talks all the time and can't find her words. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so we've got, and someone was on, I saw someone here from Jamaica too, talking about that. It depends, you know, it's a really American thing, this hang up with the race thing. It really, that's been my experience. I haven't been all over the world, but I see it here more than any other place that I've been to. All right. Guest 245 says, could you possibly do a show on how to approach other vendors, the do's and don'ts? Noted. For sure. Thank you. Okay. All right, ladies, gentlemen, I don't know, mainly ladies, it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me. So look, we've got a date on Thursday, right? I'll send out an email with the time and we'll talk a little bit more. You guys make me so happy. I was so frazzled before the show started because I didn't have my stuff and you've just calmed me. Thank you so much. So confettiradio.com is a site that goes with this show. Please check that out. I will upload the recording for today's show. And also Confetti Radio is on Twitter, on Facebook, and on iTunes. And thank you so much. Thank you so much. As always, love and success. Thank you, Reggie. And have a wonderful evening. I'll talk to you soon, okay? Let's see if I can find the music for tonight.